I've wondered about why there is enthusiasm in this parish to celebrate Harvest Festival, because after all, in terms of the history of the suburb, it has its origins as one of New Zealand's most advanced industrial suburbs, a place you would have thought far from rural interests and concerns. But the more I've dug into the history of the suburb, the more I've come to see that there is a point to us celebrating Harvest Festival. For a start, this was swampy, flat land, the flat as it was called in the 19th century, and it had to be drained for human habitation to begin. And the Chinese market gardens, which occupied pretty much all of what's now called Tonga Park, and some areas in the vicinity of Ings Avenue, were a crucial part of that draining operation, often through very hard labour of, you know, those foot little pedals that, that act as pumps. Those produce of those gardens were sold door to door by the Chinese market gardeners. It's also a reality that the many cottages, workers' cottages in this area, had intensively cultivated vegetable gardens. It's one of the reasons why people thought their life was better here than back in England. Maybe John A. Lee went on about the poverty-stricken conditions of his childhood, but his mother, Jenny Lee, believed that her life was better here than it would have been in Scotland, despite her bad luck with men and a number of adverse circumstances. And one of the reasons is that people who lived here had the opportunity to grow much of their own food. It's also a fact that at the turn of the century, with the advent of the reforming Liberal government of Seddon and Ward, one of the ideals that drove that government was the belief that urbanisation was bad and that small farming units were good, and that the government should encourage people to live in the interior. They were keen to open up the interior, to encourage the growth of small rural towns, to break up the big estates, which they saw as hogging the land, which ought to be occupied by honest yeoman farmers. And this in turn created a dilemma for them, because they didn't want to borrow lots of money, as Julius Vogel's government had. You know, Vogel moved on from being the editor of the ODT to become Premier of New Zealand and launched the first Think Big project. And that borrowing and opening up of the interior with railways development and the gold rush had brought the first rush of prosperity in New Zealand, and then the first major depression, which the reforming Liberal government was keen to avoid happening again. Well, this pastoral idyll, this belief that most New Zealanders would be spiritually happier and better off in these kind of small farming units, was an unrealistic vision. Because the reality was that farms needed to be biggish and run by people who knew what they were doing and weren't just enthusiastic amateurs to make a go of it in the long run. But the pastoral idyll remains in the New Zealand imagination, and it helps to explain, for instance, I think, the continuing popularity of programs like Country Calendar. Fewer and fewer New Zealanders actually make their living off the land, but the program appeals to what we believe about ourselves to be true of ourselves. Today, then, we are giving thanks for God's goodness to us in creation, his bounty that supplies our table and our nutritional needs. We're giving thanks that God preserves the created order minute by minute in being. It would fall into chaos and nothingness if he did not do that. We are reminding ourselves of the need to care for the creation that God has given to us in its many details, and to be interested in the many details of the natural world around us. Why should we try to understand the lives of animals, for instance? Well, the English moral philosopher Mary Midgley's book Beast and Man, published in 1978, ended with a succinct answer. Humankind can neither be understood nor saved alone. No philosophy can hope to understand human nature, Midgley argued, without acknowledging our integration into incomparably larger and older natural systems. And this caring about the details of God's gift to us of the creation should, I think, ignite our concerned interests in debates about current dilemmas, such as the dairying versus tourist dilemma that takes up much of our national discourse now. These two major sources of income for our nation are opposed and are a kind of in contradistinction to one another, because we can't go on being a clean green tourist destination if we continue to pollute our waterways. I'm very clear about my own position on this one that it would be difficult to state openly in some of our rural parishes. I reflect on the parish of Ellesmere, where I was the vicar in the early 1980s, where dairying had only just begun. And on my return there now, I find that all has changed for the worst, and I'm clear about where I stand in that debate. And this festival should also interest us and in solutions to current dilemmas that involve working with nature and not against it. So, for instance, in the current debate about what shall we do about the possibility of ocean inundation, the high water tables of this area, and the possibility of further major floods and our vulnerability to those, I'm clear that part of the solution would involve the creation of wetlands around the St Clair and St Kilda coastline, a relatively cheap solution. These wetlands have immense storage capacity for water, and improperly managed and developed, become a place of major interest and recreational interest as flora and fauna return there, and even become in some parts of our country major areas of tourist visiting. And lastly, the Harvest Festival should interest us in what is our theological view of creation. Is the natural world a kind of theatre and backdrop of the drama of the struggle for human salvation, as if it were a kind of theatre set of props? Or is it the integrated reality that God intends to draw back to himself in all its details, all sentient beings, all plant systems? This is what's the Eastern Orthodox view of theosis, or union with God. That union with God equals also union with all the creation as the site and locus of the new heavens and the new earth that we shall occupy when God is all in all at the last. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.